Welcome. Welcome to Recipe for Peace Now. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common goal, a common good. We will discuss listener emails, answer common questions, and at the end of the show, we will have two delicious potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to send in a question or a favorite recipe, please email us at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com or visit our website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Also, if you would like to hear prior shows, they are archived on our website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thanks. Now let's get started. This time we're going to be talking about thinking out of the box. Now, it has been pointed out to me by some of you guys, and this is absolutely true, that that's kind of an American expression. And, of course, this is an international global show. And really, when you say think, and everybody's got this expression in some way, when you say think outside the box, it means that you have to really, really think something that's not real traditional, that hasn't maybe been done before, something that we need to really, really go out and really have a, let's think about what needs to be done now, even though it's not what we planned type moment, right? Yeah. And a lot of times we as leaders and our groups and our and to handle our issues and reach our successful outcome, of course we need to do that. We need to really consider all of the options. We need to consider the something that we didn't consider before. Sometimes when you do research, right, you do research on the internet and you have teams that do it, and you find something out that you just hadn't thought about, that just hadn't occurred to you, that wasn't something that you realized could be done, had been done, hadn't been done, or that would be a repercussion of our actions. And that's important to know, too. What is it that's, going to happen if we do this? Because sometimes we hit the law of unintended consequences, right? And it's important to know that we can handle it, that it's going to be fine. Yeah? It's very, very necessary to be able to be flexible in what it is that we're thinking, that what it is that our solution will be. Because it has to be something that's workable. Yeah, we're practical people. We don't want to just do something and then just have it be kind of a window dressing. You know what I mean? Just something because somebody wants to say that they got something done. No. We want to actually have a workable solution that has effect, that changes things, right? Yeah. We want to really, really make the world a better place. Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I am going. This is so much fun. Thank you all for being here, and thank you for your participation. I am going to ask the basic lead question that we always ask, because this is an unscripted show, and then we will know where we're headed, right? So the question that we're going to ask and consider is, when do we as leaders need to think outside the box, need to help lead our participants, help lead our team towards an outcome that they didn't really picture when they started, right? And sometimes the people that don't picture what the outcome is going to be is not only our team, but our clients too, right? And I'm going to call everybody who has brought us in a client, even if they're not literally paying us, right? But they're the folks that want something done and got the team together and brought us in. We're going to call them clients because they don't necessarily pay us money, although we hope that they do, right? Right. Mm-hmm. So when do we, as leaders, need to think outside the box? This is a good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got lots of participation. Excuse me. Oh, I dropped my pen. And I do this a lot. It's kind of my specialty, and a lot of you know that. We need to think outside the box when the group has already failed. Yeah? I know I don't like to use the word failure, but sometimes the group has already failed, right? No way of getting around that. They gave it a good try, and it just didn't work for one reason or another. Really didn't have any effect, didn't work, wasn't really what needed to be done. Yeah. So the group has already failed. Mm-hmm. How about also, and this is very different than them failing internally, the next topic I think we're going to be talking about is people are talking about when the answer is already no, right? The answer is no. We're not going to do that. We can't do that. We don't know how. Let's think about that, and let's go forward when the answer is already no. Not gonna. Yes, we need to think outside the box also when the present solution is unworkable. That's not necessarily the group has failed. They got to a solution. The answer wasn't exactly no, although maybe it became no later. But somewhere along the line, the solution that was thought of, the present solution, has become unworkable for a variety of reasons that we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. How about we have to think outside the box when there are lots of opinions as to what to do, which is what I'm hearing from you guys. Everybody's got a different opinion, and they really are kind of different. You know how sometimes the opinions are different, but not real seriously divergent. They are within a range of each other. Sometimes people really have different opinions and different needs. Mm-hmm. Let's think outside the box also when the opposition is very strong and well organized. We see that sometimes. We think that this is the right way, but there's opposition, and they are us. They are strong and well organized. And we have to think outside the box about what to do about that. We might not even have expected opposition, but there they are. Mm-hmm. Let's think outside the box also for funding. A lot of people are talking about a money source. Our funding source in some way needs to be reexamined. Mm-hmm. And I think the final one, which is kind of a catch-all for whatever we don't discuss prior to that, is let's think outside the box when circumstances change. Something's happened. Circumstances change. My friend, I'm going to do something really rude, but this is a live show and I can't help it. I'm going to blow my nose. Give me a second to go down and I'll be right back with you. Oh. Oh, my. Well, that proves it's a live show. You do, on this particular service, you can't exactly cut and like that. It can't end it and not have people hear you blow your nose. I apologize. But hey, it's live radio. What can we say? Yes, yes. Okay, I'm back. Let's talk about the various topics that we just set out. Let's do the already failed one. The group has tried. You weren't there, of course, because they wouldn't have failed if you were there. But they've tried and they've already failed. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my specialty. You know how you get brought in on stuff repeatedly because you were good at it the last time, and people say things like, well, Sue, or whatever your name is, did it really well the last time, and now we've got it again. We need to bring her in and do something about it. I see a lot of it where the group has already failed. They tried it, but they must reach the outcome that's necessary. That's not negotiable. They've got to do something about the issues. The problem is that they have already failed. They've already not made it, right? Bad thing. Yes, yes, bad thing. And so they're already of the opinion that it can't be done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, Thank you. Mohammed says that's a negative self-fulfilling prophecy. Yes, if you want to hear prior shows, they're archived on the website. We've done a couple, I think, on self-fulfilling prophecy. And you're absolutely right, Mohammed. It's a negative self-fulfilling prophecy. We know that we failed and it can't be done. So they've already got a negative idea about whether or not they're going to make it, whether or not this is going to succeed. Bad thing. And it's not even true, because what you need is you need to rethink it and think outside the box, right? Yeah. So what are we going to do about that? Because we're practical people, yeah? Yes, quite a few people are talking about replacing the group membership and reorganizing. Yes, if that's possible, right? Maybe. I'm going to say it depends. I know you guys think that I say that a lot, but I do, and it depends. It depends, A, if the people that were there in the first try are the necessary participants. I'm thinking, for example, corporate, a certain corporate level. I'm thinking, for example, that you've got organizations that need to be at the table. And their leaders are their leaders. They're not getting rid of their leader just because this particular group didn't make it. This particular agenda is having difficulty, right? Yeah. It's very important to establish if you've got, yes, this is true, that sometimes the prior leader is now a participant. And he or she needs to stay. The prior leader is now a participant. Let's think about that for a moment. In my experience, and this is just a human experience, and is not really makes anybody a bad person, but my human experience has been that if you've got the prior leader who failed as a participant, and now you've been brought in to fix it because they were dumb, right, or ineffective. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody actually says that, but everybody knows that's the reason. Pardon me, my allergies are acting up. They're not happy. And they would just as soon that the group fail again and not reach a successful outcome. Because it's human nature. They don't want to be the dummy that couldn't do it. And then have somebody come in the white knight, right, and go, yes, we're going to do it this way, which should have been done 6 months ago, and voila, here we go. We've got it. Well, that's annoying, right? Yeah, it kind of is. But you have to understand that that's what's happening, and it doesn't make them bad people. It just makes them human, right? Right. So what are we going to do about that? Mm-hmm. How do we step in? Well, the first thing we need to do, yes, thank you, everyone. We're going to talk about the civility rules, yes. But even before we set foot in the group, which is what I do, and I think you should do it too because it's very important or you will be ineffectual. You'll fail also. And because there is a preconception of failure already in this group. In fact, I like to do this for all groups, whether they failed already or not, because it's important. Before I take on this task, I actually make sure what my powers are. Now, what does that mean? It means that I want to know in writing, in my contract, I want to know what it is that I can do. What it is that I can do. Now, let's think about that for a minute. What does that mean? It means if I tell you about the civility rules, which we're going to talk about in 1 second, yeah, if I tell you that I'm the new sheriff in town and I'm going to help you to find your successful outcome, and I am, I want to know what I can do if you don't comply. What are my powers? Right? Yeah. What are my powers? What is it that I can do to make you comply? Well, let's think about that for a moment. That's important. That's an important thing to know. What is it that I can do to make you comply with me? Hey, let's think about that for a minute. Important to know. Important to really think about that. What can I do to make you do it? Because that's the essence. That's really what we want to know. That's really the important part. What can I do to make you be a team player? Can I affect your job? Which is what I usually can do, because I do corporate a lot, right? I have the power to dismiss you from this group, and it will adversely impact your employment. Now, that's good because I can threaten your livelihood. And I'll know if you backbite me and like that, right? Because I've got the administration at my back, the higher ups, the client. Remember, I'm talking about whoever brought you in, must give you real power and back you in things get funny, right? You must be able to call them in to participate and see what's going on. Very important. I want you to come and help me to see what's going on here and to do something about it. Right? Yeah. Very important thing to know that you've, that, not for you to know, but for the participants to know. Especially if one of your participants is now the leader who failed, because they are going to try to make this group fail too, to show that it just couldn't be done and it had nothing to do with their foolish leadership. Even if they're good people, it's human nature. I mean, maybe they won't. Maybe they're all for the social, for the betterment of society and for the good of the whole and like that with sincerity. Well, God bless them. I've personally never seen that. But I'm certain that there are very good people out there, and that would be true. I just personally have never seen it. Maybe that's true. People are saying that when I see the, this is probably, this may be a true statement about me, and I acknowledge this, and I understand it because this is my preconceived notion due to my prior experience. Maybe I bring that bias with me. That if I see that the prior leader who failed kind of spectacularly, usually, is still one of my participants, is still one of my, maybe even my one of my leaders, one of the people who's in charge, right? Still in charge. I think that they are not as good intentioned as they could be. That's my bias. And I recognize that. And you must recognize that in yourself too. That might be my preconceived notion due to experience with other people and not with these people. They may be really, really good people and they really wanted to succeed. They just didn't know how. Fabulous. I love you. But I still want some power just in case that's not the case. Right? But I don't say that's why I want the power because that would be rude. And I see no purpose in being rude to anyone. Yes. Very important. Yes. Okay. You now announced that you are the new sheriff in town, and we're going to give this another good try. Everybody's willing. Yes? Well, they should be. And it's our preconceived notion. We're going to ignore it and assume that everybody is a person of good faith and goodwill. But we're still going to announce, not only are we going to get new leadership, but we're going to have the civility rules. Now, at their very core, and it's the only rules the Recipe for Peace Now has, we all know this, yes. Well, you know, there's quite a few new people. Thank you all for being here. It's fabulous. Prior shows archived on the website, recipeforpeacenow.com. There are just a lot of them because we've been around a while by now. Yeah. The civility rules. Basically, at their core, they say we will not be rude to one another. We're going to take turns talking. If we need to time the talking so that everybody gets their fair shake, especially at the beginning when we're all figuring out where people stand. I know you guys do different things. Some of you actually use a whistle, which is probably very effective. I personally like a timer that everyone can see and not just my cell phone. I know you've all got the timer on your cell phone, right? But then people feel somehow they might have had been cheated and not had enough, because the time goes fast, especially if you've really got a point to make. And so I like to use an actual kitchen timer. Tick, 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 ding, so that you can see it. Understand how much time you have left so I don't have to wave my hands at you in a surly manner. And also so that it is fair. Everybody knows that they've gotten their fair share of time. So I actually do that. The civility rules are very important. You know, and we're not going to pass notes, which is texting nowadays. We're going to put away our cell phones, right? We are not, I don't confiscate because it's too messy, but I do insist that people not use them when we're in session. We're not going to roll our eyes, sigh, do any of those things that are rude about other people's opinions and when people are expressing them, right? Right. And we're not going to form cliques. This is even true when we're doing it by Skype or other means that is electronic. No, 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 no. We're going to have the civility rules always. And you will announce them, and you will enforce them immediately, consistently, and fairly as leader. Immediately, consistently, and fairly. Do not wait until things become uncivil. It is too late. You must catch any kind of incivility, immediately. Not wait until it gets bad. No. We're going to do it right away. Very, very important to enforce immediately, consistently, and fairly, so everybody knows that nobody's going to bully anybody else, which is why you need the backing of management. You need the backing of the client, right? You have to know what you have to be able to say what the repercussions are if you don't do it. Yeah. Very important. Yes. You need to be able. Yeah. People are talking about what to do. Well, you can bring in the big guns, right? I've done it. I know, but it works. Let's go on to the next one, or else we're not going to get. We're not only not going to get to the recipes, we're not going to get through these because there's a lot of them. How about when the answer is already no? You've already been refused. You've asked for something and the answer has been no, and you really need it, whatever the something is. Thank you. Thank you. Suki and others are saying then you reframe the question and you keep beating at it. Reframe the question, right? And even though people know that you're reframing the question, probably, it gives them another chance to think about it. How about think about it from a different angle, which is why you reframed the question? Yeah, let's think about this from a different angle. Maybe from this standpoint, the answer is maybe, which is better than no, right? And you can work on that. and make it into a yes. So it's important to be able to think outside the box on what the question should be. Maybe you're asking the wrong question. George, another says you could ask a different person or different group, right? You can look around and see who is more amenable. Oftentimes that's true. You can say, oh, I'm not, this didn't work. Let's see if we can find a group, a person, something where it will work better. This is a good idea, but it's a little tricky. So you have to know that this is what your option is. Quite a few people, Elizabeth and others, are talking about appeal to the media, right? To get public opinion on your side. This is useful for politicians, right? Because they're voter oriented. And even in countries where they're not voter oriented, politicians, it kind of makes a difference what people think. Because I know this is a global show, and not all of you actually live in a democracy where people vote. But still, there's some public opinion, and there's kind of world opinion nowadays because the internet exists and everybody's kind of watching, right? Yeah. And so that makes a difference too. You've got the opinion of, well, kind of everybody, right? Also, but you have to be careful because if you're we're going to talk about opposition, you might have kind of a media war there. So you have to, and I'm very big on appointing a spokesperson and not having everybody just talk for the group, right? And personal media, the new kind of media, social media, that has to be framed properly so that you get a lot of positive feedback and not accidentally hurt your cause. So it's something to be considered, of course, but it's to be considered carefully, right? Yeah, to be considered carefully. I'm going to call this appeal to the people's self-interest. I do like to appeal to people's self-interest because, quite frankly, it's quite effective. Sometimes there's somebody has said no, not because their answer to the issues, to what you need, is really no, but because they, in some way, perceive it's going to be, if they say yes, it's going to be kind of a problem to them, kind of a pain. You know what I mean? They're going to have to do something, and they don't want to do something. So they say no to everything because it's easier. Then nobody comes back and says, oh, will you help us, right? So you have to appeal to their self-interest, to their importance, maybe in the organization or in the community, to their, well, maybe give them encouragement, maybe perhaps an award, right? You see people get honorary awards all the time. It's because they want that. They want to put it on Facebook and everywhere else and tell their bosses how important they are and how civic-minded or how corporate-minded or whatever kind of minded it is that goes with, I was singled out as the person of the year type thing. What do you think those things are for? They're for, well, getting somebody to get to yes, right? And yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Yes, thank you. Sometimes the answer is no because someone is uncertain how it's going to work out. And if it doesn't work, they'll have taken the wrong side. You know, you got to think about that too. We do, right? We try not to pick the wrong side, the loser, right? In that case, sometimes what you need is to assure them that they will be anonymous, that no one will know that they helped, right? And you must keep that You must keep your word on that or your reputation will just be bad. If somebody could help you, but they don't want to be named, they don't want to be known that they helped, even though they kind of would like to, that's why they need to be anonymous. That's why you need to have your word needs to be very, very good so that everybody knows. If they say, I don't want you to tell anybody that I did this, you won't tell anybody that they did this, right? Yeah, until they give you permission to tell the world that they helped. Because quite frankly, when it works and you've been successful, well, they'd like to be on the successful team. And then when they tell you, yeah, I'd like some credit. I'd like to people to know that I helped with this, even though it was maybe against my self-interest at the time. Well, yeah, that's fine. We'll tell now, but not before. You must keep anonymous. Mm-hmm. Let's go on to the next one. We're going to think outside of the box because the present solution, what we're doing, has become unworkable. Sometimes that happens. The present solution has become unworkable. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Lee and others are saying the main thing is to determine why it has become unworkable. Obviously, whatever is happening, whatever was done, seemed good at the time. It seemed like this is it. This is what we're going to be doing, right? Yeah, it seemed good. It seemed workable. It was like, yeah, this is a great idea. Let's do it. But somewhere along the line, it became not so much. Let's think about that. Why did that happen, right? Why, when we really worked it out and we really reached consensus and stuff was good, why is it now unworkable? Because we're going to need to work together, right? And somehow we're not. We're not working together. Yes, thank you. A lot of folk are talking about empathy and that it extends beyond the conference room. It extends beyond the negotiation period, right? Empathy is not necessarily agreement. Empathy is understanding. And in order to make something workable, you need to have empathy and understand the people you're working with, especially if we're quite diverse, and a lot of times we are. Mm-hmm. Even if they are not exactly on board, but they have impact, and they need to be, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to have empathy, understanding, not necessarily agreement. How are we going to get that? Well, we're going to ask the 5W questions, right? Yes, thank you. Not all at once, maybe not all of them, but we do need the answer to who, what, where, when, and why. Why has this become unworkable? Who, what, where, when, and why? Who has impact? Who's kind of pulling the strings? Who told you that? What happened? We had agreement. Why? What's going on? Where did you hear this? Where did you make this decision? When? And why have things changed, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, because we need to work together. Do you ask them all at the same time? Not necessarily. You have to see how it's going. Do you ask them in front of everybody? Also not necessarily. You have to see if that's appropriate, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes, but this is indeed the key to it. Yes, Padme and others are saying that the problem is that it worked in the past, but somehow it's expired. It's not working now. And she says that oftentimes it's because over the time period, different people have become involved. This happens a lot. Different people become involved, especially if you get funding and there's some sort of a governmental idea. Different people get involved and they have all kinds of different ideas about what should be done, right? And if you get enough people stirring the pot, we're going to have to work on some team playing, some everybody involved, and some empathy, because they're not playing well together. Too many opinions, for example, which is what we're going to talk about next. Mm-hmm. Yes. This is a good point, too. Hussein says that sometimes you need to involve the makers, the original people, in the present solution and call them in as experts, right? What was the original intent, for example? Because maybe some years and it stopped working. It was good for a while, and now for some reason the whole thing's gotten bogged down and become unworkable, right? Maybe it's not what we decided, but what happened with too many opinions, too many people, maybe circumstances have changed. Let's call in the original participants as experts and have them tell us the who, what, where, when, and why. Have them tell us what was the intent and what the intent is going forward, right? To clarify it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes things get kind of muddled over time. Too many people attempting to enforce, for example, right? Too many people say, yeah, that's a really good idea, let's do this. And this is kind of not quite. Mm-hmm. So we got multiple opinions. Let's involve the makers. Let's involve the original folk, right? Mm-hmm. So let's do multiple opinions next, because that's the next one on our list, and that's really what we're talking about now. Sometimes that makes things unworkable. Yes. Sharon and others are saying you need to negotiate consensus when you have multiple opinions. Sometimes easier said than done, but what you need to do to make consensus is to have everybody understand that that would be a mighty fine thing, right? Yeah, we can agree that we need to agree. That's the first step. Now let's think about our mutual needs, what it is that we really want, what it is that's going to happen, right? Yeah, very important. So we're going to negotiate consensus. Mm-hmm. Yes, and we're going to, as Lee and others are talking about, the invisible participants, right? Recipe for Peace now talks about these invisible participants quite a bit because they have impact. The invisible participants need to be brought in when we have multiple opinions and maybe even when it's become unworkable, right? And everything else. They're always in our mind. They're always there. And the reason being is that the invisible participants are those leaders of other groups, those organizations, those people up the chain of command, down the chain of command, your family, your religious views, whatever it is that is impacting our participants, impacting our workability, that's not actually in the room, but it's making a difference to opinions of the people really there. Right? Yeah. The invisible participants need to be considered, need to be brought out into the open, which is why we ask the 5W questions, who, what, where, when, and why. That'll tell us who's impacting. That'll tell us who's having an invisible impact, right? Yeah. They need to be brought in. They need to be brought to the light. But maybe they need to be brought in too, right? Because we're going to be acknowledging our differences, but we need to work together, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and this is always a surprise to people. I do not know why this is a surprise to people, but it is. Yes, you've heard me say this before. When you tell people that the faster we get this done and reach the successful outcome we'd all want, we all need, the faster we don't have to deal with each other anymore. This is always a surprise to people. I don't know why that's a surprise to people, but it always is. And we need to understand that we need to cooperate. The more we cooperate, the better it is for all of us. And then we can leave, right? Yes. Yes, this is a good point that quite a few people, Erin and others, are making, that what you're trying to do is making working relationships and not solving deep-seated bias. Deep-seated bias is nasty and ugly, and we'd like to solve it, but we're not going to. What we're going to do is we're going to get these participants, this group, to work together to a solution that is workable and successful for everybody. Right? That's our goal. Our goal is not necessarily to fix the world, although that will help. And next time there's issues, then these people will know that they still don't really trust or like, oh, fill in the blank. But this person that I dealt with before in this group is an exception to my basic opinion, because that's how bigots do it, right? And I can work with him or her because I've done it in the past, and they probably feel the same way. They're not all that pleased, but it's workable. It's doable. We're going to be fine, right? Yeah. So working relationships is what you're going for. As I say in the beginning, we don't have to be friends. We just have to be willing participants, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, people are asking for an example of multiple opinions that really is everybody's got a different reason for wanting the same outcome. This is frequent, actually. The easiest example that I sometimes give is that in the United States, you may have seen this on the news. It's kind of making news with our new, well, not so new administration anymore. With this administration, the Attorney General has made quite a bit of news with this because he's quite opposed. And the Attorney General is the, I don't know how to describe it, like the head lawyer of the country, the chief enforcer. In the United States, marijuana is illegal federally. Federal law trumps everything else. There were lots of groups that individually tried to influence that, at least for medical purposes. Each of those groups has a leader. Each of those groups has funding. And each of those groups has a self-righteous reason why they want it. Sorry, but they do. And all kinds of different groups. You've got all kinds of different diseases, all kinds of different ailments, all kinds of things that have intractable pain and like that, where medical marijuana would provide relief in a non-opioid manner, because they say we have an opioid crisis in our country because so many people are taking pain medication. It would alleviate that. Okay. They got nowhere. And this is the truth, even with more liberal administrations, because it does make a difference who's in Washington in this country. I happen to be in the United States. So all of these groups, all of these different interests that go with these groups had to work together and do something odd. They had to try to get state by state to put it on the ballot, have the voters vote for something that was federally illegal, and legalize marijuana within their state. Ooh, that's dicey. But that's what happened, because there was no way of moving the federal government. And so what we were really trying to do was prove to the politicians who were in charge, right, they've got to make the new law, that the citizenry was ready. And that's an interesting point, because when we talk about circumstances changing, sometimes public opinion is the circumstance that changes. Things get more liberal. You can. There's lots of different areas where that's true. Change, right? Opinion changes. Opinion polls were taken, and the voters voted yes. Every place, pretty much. It was, I think, truly every place. It was actually put on a state ballot. The voters voted. The citizenry voted yes, resoundingly. Right? Really, really, yeah, really doing it. And the. But what was the people in the process that had to put this on the ballot? Oh, there's a whole big process. You have to work together. It's a biggie. They're all different. But they have to understand they have the same goal. And the leaders of the various groups have to understand that they're not being usurped, right? By, well, you being the leader of this particular group that's going for legalization, perhaps, right? All kinds of different people in the room, different kinds of disorders that needed it, different kinds of diseases, growers that wanted to be legitimized, merchants, people that wanted to sell at retail, the government officials and other people that wanted to make the regulations, all kinds of lawyers, right? Because if it's legal, then you've got all kinds of government oversight. Yeah, it's not just a guy with a baggie anymore. You've got all kinds of regulations about purity and standards and who's an actual approved grower. And like that, there's a whole bunch of considerations. But you had to keep your eye on the ball. This is what our goal is. And then we'll negotiate everything else and make consensus. Yeah, so it was fabulous. Speaking of which, there was indeed some strong opposition, which is our next topic, strong opposition. Sometimes that happens. You didn't even know there was going to be opposition, maybe. But when you started to get somewhere, when you started to get traction and maybe some media attention, lo and behold, there was opposition. People came out of the woodwork to be opposition, right? Yes. And so what are we going to do about that? Well, yeah, this is a good point that, yes, that Nathan and others are making, that sometimes you need to find alternate arguments. Yeah, let's say, well, no, you're wrong, opposition. That's not what we're doing, right? Alternate arguments. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are going for enlist the media, again, because you want the public opinion to be with you. That's what we did. Enlist experts also to say it's an okay thing, that it's a good idea. We enlisted the medical community, right? Yeah. And so I really think that if you're going to do the media, you need to appoint a spokesperson for the group so that the message doesn't get muddled or misunderstood, right? Sometimes the leader is the spokesperson. Not always. I always think the spokesperson should be the most impressive. And it's not necessarily the leader, because media really likes to be able to put out what your credentials are. And for a thing like medical marijuana, or any kind of marijuana, we had spokespeople who were medical people, politicians, law enforcement, because you're filling the jails with people selling and using marijuana, right? And those spokespeople have more gravitas than just, I'm the leader of this group. They're nice. And I have lots of nice credentials, but lawyer-type credentials were not it, right? And you have to understand that, too. You're not necessarily the right spokesperson. You have to see who is. Mm-hmm. This is a good negotiation idea, and oftentimes it works, and you should at least offer, because it's very interesting and instructive to know things, right? Yeah, Paul and others are saying that you need to meet face-to-face with your opposition because your differences may be negotiable. Meet them face-to-face, really call a powwow, right? Meet them face to face because maybe your differences are negotiable. Yes, and this is true too. This is a real pragmatic, workable solution idea. Yes, Ian says that you can create a larger impact by coming together with other like-minded groups. The more you are, the bigger your group, the more voice you've got. And if you've got kind of like-minded groups and we're all doing our own thing, let's band together. Let's put up a united front. Let's show that this is popular. Because people, by nature, want to join something that's going to be successful and popular, right? Yeah, it's just by nature. You will accumulate lots and lots of followers that way, and you will attract the attention of the powers that be because they want to have lots and lots of followers agree with them. That's a good idea, too, for well, I'm going to say politicians, but not necessarily, for corporate even, that people are really behind this, that it's a really good idea, that there's enthusiasm, and that there's a lack of enthusiasm for being the opposition, which is important too, right? Right. Let's talk about funding, because we're going to run out of time. And sometimes you have to think out of the box to get more funding. You've been funded in some way, but sometimes it's ended. You might have reached your maximum. It might have been for a certain period of time. But you need to reach out. You need to think outside the box for new funding, right? Yes, this is true. Pam and others are saying that sometimes you need to enlist community help. They've got those GoFundMes and like that nowadays. There's social media ways to get some funding. It depends how much money you need, right? Maybe you should reduce your costs, and then you won't need as much funding. You might have to think about that too, that we have quite a bit of set expenses. Well, let's see if that's something that needs to be rethought, the set expenses idea. Maybe it does. Maybe we are too heavy with administration, right? Maybe it's possible that we need to really rethink this. That happens, folks. Yeah. And reduce your costs. People are talking about enlisting an expert. There's such a thing as a person who's an expert in grant writing because it has to look right, right? And in finding what the appropriate grants would be. We actually have that. Recipe for Peace Now does not solicit funds. You might have noticed that over the website and like that. I've seen grant writers. We have been part of helping other people get a grant, right? And it's a skill. You might think about actually asking someone who's an expert how to do it, right? Yeah. And our last topic, which we have kind of been circling around all show long, is that sometimes we need to think outside the box because circumstances have changed. Circumstances have changed. Something's happened. Yes, sometimes that does happen. This is a good circumstance that changes, yes. Sarah and others are saying that sometimes issues change because they've been partially solved. We made it. Yay. We made it with some help from others. Things have happened, and we've been successful. But we're kind of a really good group. And there's always something else that needs to be done. The next step needs to be taken. Well, our issues have shifted. Our circumstances have changed, but the rules of the game still apply, right? About civility and about really getting something done successfully and like that. Yeah. So the issues have shifted and our circumstances have changed, but we're still really good at this. And we're going to see what else needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is true too. Alicia and others are saying sometimes there's unintended consequences of our actions. Unintended consequences, which is why we're going to consult with experts. We're going to think about things. We're going to really, really get down and think about what needs to be done. Because sometimes circumstances change because we've been successful, but we had an unintended consequence. Nobody foresaw what would happen. Sometimes that happens when we write new laws, for example. We know what the intent was. We've looked at it really a long time. We've thrashed out the wording and like that. We think we've got it. But then when it goes to court, it gets interpreted differently than we intended, differently than we thought it would, right? Yeah, it gets interpreted, well, I'm not going to say sideways, but kind of unusually, right? Not at all what we thought was going to be. And we're like, uh-oh, we have the law of unintended consequences happening here. And it's really true, right? So we need to step back and say, well, now what can be done to really make our intent happen and not have this consequence that's maybe damaging somebody, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a circumstance that changes that we need to think outside the box. We need to go, whoop, that box is not working. We need to think outside it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the group makeup changes. This is true, too. People change. Mm-hmm. And that does affect the dynamic of the group. First of all, people have to catch up. Second of all, it kind of depends why they're the new person and why maybe somebody left. A lot of times, if something's going on for quite a while, the process is taking a while, there are term limits. And people leave, but if they're very good, and usually they are, we actually call them back as experts, right? We call them back to consult because we still need their input. It's just that things have kind of shifted. Mm-hmm. So sometimes the group makeup itself changes. Mm-hmm. And yes, sometimes public opinion evolves, right? Like the marijuana. If you had taken that same survey, I understand, some years ago, especially like in the 60s and stuff, maybe early, not, you know, later than that, the 60s and long ago, but say 10 years ago even, there's some expert opinion that the results would have been different, that people were not ready to say, yes, let's make that legal. It would be a good idea, right? Opinions change. People see that something that they thought, ooh, that's bad because it's illegal and it's, you know, the demon's weed. Science catches up. Internet makes a big difference in people's opinions, right? Which is why the media needs to be controlled and needs to be dealt with because it makes a tremendous difference. All of these things make a difference, and all of them need to be considered carefully. Yeah. Because it is important to have public opinion on your side. Surprisingly enough. Yes, or maybe not surprisingly enough. My friends, we have gotten to all of our topics, which is good, but we're not making it to the recipe this time, and I apologize again, but we've had such a wonderful conversation, right? Yes. So, we have run out of time, and I'm going to thank all of you for being here, for all of your participation, for listening. Thank you very much. Please do come again. If you want to find us, Word Recipe for Peace Now at gmail.com. The website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Prior shows, they are archived on that website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all of your participation. Do come again. Thanks. Bye-bye.